Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the rest of that conversation, I heard absolutely nothing.
Well, I listened to him. He was being cynical.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for the call, then. I appreciate it. I'll listen. You know what? I'll re-listen to it on the Odyssey app as I'm driving home.
Yes.
I don't need to hear Loogie tonight.
The next break, you can just rewind.
Oh, during the break?
Yeah, you can rewind.
I could do that. You know what? Forget it. I will listen to you, Loogie, tonight. I'm going to rewind during the next commercial break. But that next commercial break's coming in a while, so you got time. John is in Philadelphia. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Great show. And just wanted to say, I think there's a section of Juan Soto or a piece of Juan Soto's contract that we might be overlooking. I don't think it's necessarily just about the length of the contract or how much per year. But I think that the opt-out, he's 26. Chances are he's probably going to have an opt-out in the next probably 2 or 3 years before he's even 30. So he's going to be able to reset the market again.
Yeah.
And I think for teams like Toronto, who reportedly, who knows if they're accurate, teams like that might go all in and say, hey, we'll give you a front-loaded contract with an opt-out after 2 or 3 years, and then you can test the market again. And then that way they can try to re-sign Vlad Guerrero. And I think there's teams, Dodgers could do this.
But you know what's crazy about that, John? Why wouldn't every team do that?
Yeah.
Like, if you want Juan Soto, and I've always talked about this, I mentioned this a few weeks ago, that the opt-out can be good for the team as well, front-load it, have him opt out after 3 years, and then you get to reevaluate the situation in 3 years. You get the best of Juan Soto at age 26, 27, and 28, and then, yes, he gets to re-go back into the market and maybe get an even crazier contract. I'm not anti-opt-out. If I'm the Yankees, the Mets, the Red Sox, whoever, I'd offer him that.
I mean, look, you got to do whatever you have to do if you're one of these organizations assigned Juan Soto. So that's putting in the opt-outs, which obviously we haven't talked about, but as he just brought up, that last caller, are likely to be a part of it. Guaranteed money, like signing bonus money. Whatever you have to do to get Juan Soto, you do.
I agree.
The question that we don't know, and you brought this up earlier, Evan, you're absolutely right, is what's also important. It's obviously the money,
mm-hmm.
but what is also important?
Right.
Like, you keep hearing the Blue Jays have this big number, but does he really want to play north of the border?
Maybe he wants to be Mr. Canada.
Maybe he does.
Maybe he didn't like the election results, and he's threatening to leave the country, too. None of us know.
I'm going to become a citizen of Canada.
I have no idea. Maybe he wants to be in Boston because he's like, yes, I loved Pedro Martinez as a kid. Maybe he wants to be a Met because he's hearing the rumors, too.
Maybe he wants to be a Dodger because he wants to win championship after championship.
Maybe.
After championship.
Maybe. But maybe he wants to be a Met because he heard the same rumor I heard, which I'd love to confirm for everybody, but I'm not at liberty to do so. But David Wright is going to get his number retired this year, isn't he?
So what does that have to do with Juan Soto?
Maybe Juan Soto loved David Wright. Oh. Maybe as a young kid in the DR, he loved watching D. Wright from Virginia.
That's right.
Maybe Juan Soto wants to be at Citi Field July 18th. To see David Wright get his number retired, according to many, many rumors that I happen to believe because I think it's true, and I'm pretty damn confident it's true. Maybe that's why Juan Soto's going to join the Mets.
Well, maybe Juan Soto realized if he signs with the Mets, he could be completely mediocre and beloved by fans and then get his number retired, too.
How dare you? Jeez. How dare you? Did you really just say that?
I said it.
About David Wright?
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Not a pimple on the ass of Don Mattingly.
I'm going to take this bottle of water, and I apologize if I get you wet.
Okay.
I'm going to squirt him with this water.
Don't you throw that water.
I'm going to throw this water.
Don't you throw that water. Don't you throw that water. I still got equipment.
Put a cap on it. There's expensive equipment in there, and you are the company.
Oh, now my sink goes ruined. Oh, no.
It's just paper.
Oh, no. Maybe you'll learn.
Just paper, your laptop.
I apologize, Tiki. Sorry. I'm going to warn you for the next time. Take my franchise player's name out your mouth. And the next time...
Overrated.
The next time it won't be water, it'll be...
Overrated.
Next time it won't be water, it'll be John Sterling's head from that bobblehead.
All I know is David Wright getting his number retired is the equivalent of hanging a wild card champion banner up.
Oh, shut your mouth, though. What can I do besides water now? Should I throw these baseball cards at you?
You owe Tiki a new laptop for Christmas.
It's all good.
Well, now who are BT and Sal going to guess?
After their baseball cards. Sorry, BT, but you would understand why. Anyhow, it's Cinco time.
Cinco de Fivo with Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
Please thank God.
Cinco de Fivo is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere, and by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Visit us online at 888thebenz.com.
Please thank Hoffman for his Eastchester shirt that was here driving my laptop.
Thank you.
Sorry, you got me angry. What do you want from me?
All right. I'm here to tell you after a weekend of football, the five former New York Giants that are pissing me off in new homes because they should be here.
Oh, I like that.
All right. All right. Think of all the Giants that are new homes. Here we go.
Here we go.
Number five.
Steve Spagnuolo.
Steve.
Think about all
That's
the problems.
A long time ago.
But he think about this. He had two tenures here. Remember, he was not a part of the second Super Bowl team. Came back with Ben McAdoo. Right. He got fired. He hung around. If they only stopped offering him the interim head coach stuff and stopped basically, you're not going to get the head coaching job.
Yep.
He's totally content being a great defensive coordinator. That sucks that he's not the Giants' defensive coordinator.
That's interesting.
Because he's a really good defensive coordinator.
He's probably, this side of Bill Belichick, the greatest defensive coordinator in the history of football. By the way, you're listening to WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
Number four.
This is not sexy, but it's true. Kevin Zeitler. The Giants cut him before Joe Shane even got here because he was making too much money. Somehow cutting the one good O-lineman besides Andrew Thomas they had, he's now playing very good guard for the best line in football with the Detroit Lions.
Of course.
That's a good one. I mean, Kevin Zeitler, would be helpful for this team. That's for damn sure.
You think? Okay, here we go.
Number three.
It's got to be Xavier McKinney. As we keep talking about, Tiki, how many interceptions do the Giants have from their secondary this year?
That would be none.
None from the secondary.
One from the linebacker.
Yeah, Xavier McKinney's leading the league. It'd be sure nice to have Xavier McKinney here. Remember the 2022 season when they hit the rut happening after his ATV accident. Got better tears here.
That didn't bother you, though, the whole ATV thing?
Of course it did. Of course it did. But in hindsight, you know what bothers me more?
Not having him.
Watching him for the Green Bay Packers.
And he took credit for his ATP accident.
Yeah.
Well, responsibility.
Responsibility. Yeah.
He was touring. Okay, go on.
Number two.
It's Julian Love. If I really, really thought hard about all these players they lost, it was so like, oh, okay, yeah. Remember, we were okay watching Julian Love leave because the assumption was, oh, they'll just sign McKinney. You can't pay both of them.
Yeah.
To lose McKinney in hindsight... Julian Love, I think, is the leader the Giants are missing in that defensive locker room and in that locker room.
That's a great point because he did come across like a leader on that defense, and he was impactful over the weekend against the Jets.
We used to have him on me and BT. We'd have him on every week. He was awesome.
Yeah, I miss him. And last but not least.
Number one.
Finally going to do it?
Isn't it obvious? The number one former Giant that is pissing me off in a new home that I wish we had. Without further ado. It's Sean Payton. You know, the Giants' timing of hiring a new head coach couldn't have been worse. And I like Dave's, but think about it. Had they maybe, waited a little bit. Last year was the year. Sean Payton was finally done. He sat out for a year. The Giants weren't in the coaching carousel. Now imagine they fired Dable this year. They were a year too late. They could have brought Sean Payton home. Yeah, look what he's doing with a rookie quarterback.
They had to fire their general manager.
I know the timing.
And bringing in a new general manager with keeping the head coach.
Think about the timing.
That wouldn't have been good,
Sean Payton coming home to be the head coach with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, but then now Joe Shane's got to potentially hire Sean Payton. I don't know if that...
Oh, or you could have gave him full control. I'm just saying... That's the one guy, if he was available this offseason, I'd be like, you know what, I am okay letting
him go. Now, I ask you this because one of the big criticisms that John Mara faced, and he faced it from you, Sean, because again, I do a lot of research for Posted and Toasted, was not being comfortable going outside of the family. You know, Dave Gettleman was a part of that same tree, and, there was this discomfort that some had with John Mara continuing to hire people from the tree. Joe Shane and Brian Dable, no matter what you think about this so far, broke from that habit, broke from that tree.
Yes.
If they had hired Sean Payton, wouldn't it be going back to the same tree?
Yes and no. Yes and no. It would have been in theory. However, Sean Payton is really good. He's not Dave Gettleman.
Well, I think you were talking to tree regarding... general manager.
Yeah, like within, like, this guy worked in these offices, so he's here. Head coaching wise?
I just assume
that if coaching, they've gone outside of it.
You're right, but I assume that if Sean Payton came here, he was going to do it with control. He wasn't going to come here and work under Joe Shane.
I probably would have been okay with that.
Does he have control in Denver?
Like, I assume he does.
No. Payton is, George Payton is the guy.
They have a George Payton and a Sean Payton?
Yeah. it's spelled differently, but George Payton.
Are you sure they're not the same guy, one with a mustache?
But it feels like Sean Payton has made
He's been there for a while.
But doesn't it feel like Sean Payton has made all the key personnel decisions since going to Denver, whether it's Bo Nix or bringing in Russ or getting rid of Russ?
No, they gave him control over the quarterback.
Right.
Which.
I mean, that's pretty. That seems like a lot of control.
I mean, it's probably the biggest piece of the puzzle, but they also let him go a lot of, like, defensive stalwarts. I mean, what's his name? Justin Simmons?
But it just feels like
they got rid of Jerry Jeudy.
But it feels that even if there is a GM that's been there, it does feel like Sean Payton is running the show in Denver, despite the
or at least they're giving him heavy say into it.
Yeah, regardless, that's all I'm saying. I don't know if that would have been the case here.
But what is my point is I would have been okay with that.
I understand. Yeah. That's fine. I totally get that.
And look, together. Figure it out.
To Sean Payton's credit, I think that there was a concern or at least a worry of, all right, what is he without Drew Brees? What is he going to do in Denver? And the Russell Wilson thing started off like, all right, it was better than the previous year, but happened? Now they're starting over, and they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, the Denver Broncos are on their way to being a shocking playoff team. So Sean Payton, to his credit, has done a hell of a job in Denver.
They're 8-5.
Yep. So that's it, and those are the only five guys that piss me off there.